So you asked California for a payment plan, and what came back wasn't a yes or a no. It was a letter demanding a completed financial statement. Every dollar you earn, spend, and own.
Right. That's FTB Form 3561. And the first thing I'd want a listener to hear is that it's not a rejection. It's the Franchise Tax Board saying your balance is big enough that a checkbox won't decide this. The numbers will.
Big enough meaning what?
Generally over $25,000. Or you need more than 60 months to pay it off. Or you're asking the state to pause collection for hardship. Under those thresholds, most individuals can typically set up an FTB plan online without disclosing finances at all.
Over $25,000, more than 60 months. Okay. And this is the state version of the federal form?
It's roughly California's equivalent of IRS Form 433F, yes. But, and this matters, it resolves nothing on your federal account. Neither form satisfies the other agency.
Wait, so somebody who owes both is filling out two of these?
Two financial statements, two negotiations, two sets of rules. Which is the common pattern, honestly, when unfiled self-employment years catch up all at once. And the agencies don't coordinate. A plan with one does nothing to stop a levy from the other.
Let's talk deadline, because that's what people panic about. How long do they have?
There's no single statutory window. Your deadline is the response date, printed on the FTB letter that asks for the form. That date, not some general rule.
So go find the letter.
Go find the letter. Because while the form sits unreturned, three things are happening. Interest keeps accruing. The FTB can add its collection cost recovery fee on top of tax, penalties, and interest. And involuntary collection can resume.
Spell out that last part. What does resume mean in California?
It moves through stages. First, the request that triggered the form gets closed. Denied for non-response, full balance due. Then costs stack onto the balance. Then involuntary collection. The FTB can issue an order to withhold against your bank account, or an earnings withholding order against your paycheck. And a state tax lien can be filed, which attaches to your property and becomes public record.
Which of those does the most damage?
The bank one, I'd say, because it's silent. The first sign of an FTB bank levy is often money that's already frozen. Nobody calls you first.
Okay, and the thing I keep hearing about California is the clock is longer.
Way longer. The IRS generally has 10 years to collect. The FTB has up to 20 years under RNTC 19255. So waiting out a California balance isn't a realistic strategy. It doesn't quietly age out.
20 years. All right, let's get into the form itself. Where do people hurt themselves?
Expenses. The FTB tests what you claim for reasonableness. It can disallow amounts it considers excessive. A high car payment, discretionary spending, those are common targets. And here's the mechanic that matters. Every dollar it disallows becomes a dollar it expects in your monthly payment.
Oh, that's the part people miss. It's not that they cross out the line, it's that the money reappears as payment capacity.
Exactly. So if an expense is unusual but genuinely necessary, a medical condition, tools, or a vehicle your work requires, you document why. That's the defense. Not arguing, documenting.
What about the income side?
Gig income is the hard part because it swings month to month. Average several recent months instead of cherry-picking your best or your worst. And know that the FTB compares your figure against your bank deposits, so the two have to reconcile.
And assets, I assume they already know a lot?
Understate nothing. They cross-check DMV records, county property rolls, and bank information they already hold from employer and financial institution reporting. Plus, the form is signed under penalty of perjury.
Can you walk me through what the numbers actually do? Like an example?
Sure. Take the one from the article. Gig worker didn't file California returns for 3 years, and the FTB's filing enforcement assessments now total
$61,200. $61,200. And step one is the payment plan?
No. Step one is filing the real returns. Those assessments were built from gross 1099 data. No mileage, no platform fees, no expenses at all. Real returns frequently shrink the balance before you negotiate a dime of it.
Okay, so file first, then the math.
Then the math. $61,200 spread over 60 months is $1,020 a month before interest. Now, say the form shows $5,900 in average monthly gig income and $5,150 in documented necessary expenses. That's $750 of capacity.
So they're short.
$270 short. And that gap is exactly what the financial statement exists to resolve. Honest, documented numbers give the FTB something to evaluate for a longer term at $750. If the expenses legitimately consume the income, the same form is what supports a hardship request instead. What you don't want to do is inflate income or skip expenses you actually pay, because then you've volunteered for a $1,020 payment that defaults by winter.
And a defaulted plan is worse than a slow one.
Much worse. Propose something your budget can sustain.
Say the verification piece again, simply. What's in the envelope?
Recent bank statements, typically 3 months. Pay stubs or platform earnings reports, if you're gig. Proof of the major expenses. And if you're self-employed, a simple profit and loss summary. Incomplete backup is the number one reason these packages stall.
Also, fill every line?
Every line. Write none or zero rather than leaving a field blank. Blanks cause rejections and delays.
Who can do this alone?
Plenty of people can. If all your returns are filed, your income is straightforward W-2. Your expenses are ordinary, and you're just documenting an arrangement you can clearly afford, it's tedious, not mysterious.
And when it isn't?
Multiple unfiled years sitting on inflated estimated assessments. Gig or business income the FTB will scrutinize deposit by deposit. A garnishment or levy already in motion. Balances near that $100,000 tier, where you're also looking at top 500 list and license suspension exposure. Or a case where the honest numbers point toward hardship or an offer in compromise instead of a plan.
One more. Does sending the form in stop collection?
Not automatically. A pending request can lead the FTB to hold new enforcement while it reviews. But interest continues, and existing garnishments or levies don't release on their own. If something's already running, you ask the FTB directly for a hold or a release.
So, next 24 hours. Find the response date on that FTB letter. That's the real deadline, not a statutory clock. Pull your last filed return, 3 months of bank statements, and your income records. For gig work, that's platform earnings summaries and your mileage or expense records.
And before you sign anything, get a review of the numbers. Someone can flag the expense entries the FTB is most likely to challenge and map what's actually on the table. That's 888-825-7779. Free and confidential.
888-825-7779. Send us a copy of the letter before that response date passes.